here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. I am Mo, and joined once again by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. And Brett, I know always one of our favorite things is when we get a promising artist who's on the way to a long and fruitful career. And that is the case with our talented guest today. Please tell everybody about her.
Well, what we have right now is one of three finalists in SiriusXM's Top of the Country contest. A rising star. We've got her new single, which is called As I Go, has just come out January 31st. It's got an awesome video, and we are proud to welcome Kelsey Main to the show. Kelsey, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we are happy to have you and, to try to get on the main train, right?
I love it.
So you've got the new song As I Go and the new video, and like I say, I mean it's an awesome video, super fun song. Let's just talk about that.
Yeah, the music video was kind of we put it together over a discussion at a Christmas party, actually, after a couple of drinks, and we basically. I had a friend approach me that he wanted his very large truck in my music video because he wanted a bit more street cred from his friends who give him a hard time on having this large truck. So he thought by having it in a country music video would do the trick, and I hope it did. But yeah, he has the largest lifted F-250 that's street legal in Canada. So we got it in the video. We got it crushing some cars. But what really went viral was a little 9-second glimpse on TikTok. We had 15 trucks driving in a row through a farm field, and we had four of us women on ATVs kind of leading the herd. And it was like a big, epic drone shot from up above, and I just put a little 9-second glimpse of it, and then it got like 1.5 million views in 24 hours. So that was unexpected, but really, really cool to just watch how many people got excited about that little glimpse.
It's fantastic. I mean, I think one thing that we're noticing is that TikTok is really, having that potential right now for people to see it. So then what kind of, effect has that TikTok views had on your career then over the last couple of months?
I guess what's been really cool is the American following from that, which again I didn't expect, being a Canadian girl, but there's a lot of comments on there that say, yeah, America and stuff like that, and they have like the flag and everything, and then I comment back. I'm like, well, it's actually Canada, but thank you. So that's been really cool. And then just seeing kind of the traffic that I've had, also comments on the full YouTube video saying I came here straight from TikTok and I'm glad I did. And seeing that just makes me just have the biggest smile on my face. So it's really cool to see.
You're obviously in the early parts of your career here, as we mentioned. So how much kind of are you taking control of your image, your public image, and how much are you working with other people? What kind of advice are you getting on that?
Yeah, well, right now I'm still pretty much completely independent. I'm my own agent. I'm my own manager. I'm my own label. But I've been pretty fortunate to have help with first of all, Factor Canada. They helped to give me funding for the whole album. So it was supposed to be just a couple songs, and then because of them, it turned into a whole album. So this is the album track called As I Go, and then I'm very fortunate to have their help, and then also I have a publicist, a great publicist, and a really great radio team to help me as well. So, but everything else I do on my own. As far as like the music video went, I produced it and edited it and color coded it, and I even like made my own dress in it. So I'm pretty hands on with that.
Do you have any background in editing or anything of that nature?
No, I just taught myself. I've edited all of my music videos so far. So I taught myself on the first music video called Still Not Over You. And just kind of kept it up since then. It does help when I have. So my brother is in the film industry, so I lean on him a lot. And so I'll do like the first edit and he'll go in and clean it up. And then I might spend a bit more time on it and we'll kind of go back and forth that way. So he's my co-editor on it, but I'm very fortunate in that aspect.
Yeah, no, I'm very impressed by that because the videos do look great. All of them really do. And especially this one here. I mean, that's very impressive.
Thank you. Well, it makes for very cheap labor, so it's good. It's good.
Well, and I think that's one of the really, awesome things is that when you're starting out, I mean, it really speaks to your passion and your drive that you're willing to do this kind of thing. I mean, it's obvious that you're willing to take the time, you're willing to push forward with this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is time consuming, but at the end of the day, it's like if you don't have somebody to do it or the resources to have somebody else do it, then you're kind of forced to do it yourself, and I'm okay with that. I've always I guess in every aspect of my life I've had to work for and earn it myself, and I'm very happy and proud to do it that way. I don't take anything for granted, and I don't want anything handed to me either, so it's I guess it's just the way I was raised.
Speaking of that, I'd love to know a little bit more about the background and your growing up, your family life, the influence that may have had on your musical career and choices, and who you are as a person.
Yeah, sure. I'm from Windsor, Ontario, originally. So I grew up with a lot of Detroit influence in my background and in my blood. So like radio, and we never had cable growing up. We just had the bunny ears. So we would watch on TV, whatever had the strongest stream for us. And that was usually Detroit television. So I've had a lot of American influence growing up. And then later when I moved to Toronto, then I started learning more about the Canadian. I'm very ashamed to admit this, but I didn't even know who the Tragically Hip were until I moved to Toronto. So I know it's just like, I lived in a little bubble in Windsor, but then now I know getting to travel out, I've gotten to educate myself a lot more with everything else in our great country. So I'm fortunate to have both of those influences in my life, but I had a strong, like, Aretha Franklin was huge, obviously Eminem, everyone in Detroit, so I have, and it's cool because I have all the songs on my albums each one is influenced by somebody else. So, a different person or a different experience in my life. I have one that I ran track in university, and so I have, I ran at a pretty high level there and was a bronze medalist in Canada in my last year. And that was such a great experience in my life. And I ran for the University of Windsor. It was Go Lancers. I was a team co-captain in my last year and then medaled, and it was just kind of like the cherry on top of the cake. So I have a song that was influenced by that whole experience called Nothing on Us. And it's about kind of just coming from a smaller city, smaller town. And even though you might have, people with competitors with, shinier bigger buses and, you know, the top of the line equipment and stuff. And it just, it's your heart that matters. So that song is pretty close to my heart. But then, I in another song, I rap in it, and it's kind of just drawn from a bunch of my background. So, and being an independent artist, it's cool being able to do that because I can make all the calls myself and I don't have anyone telling me what to do.
No, that's awesome. Detroit, I mean, if you're going to have a city that you're influenced by, Detroit is about as good as you can, because I mean, the legendary hard rock, Motown, rap, you know, all of it, mm-hmm. it coming from that area. So, I mean, that's a very cool thing. Now, also, I mean, obviously, early in career, people want to place somebody into a spot where they can kind of, you know how to understand them or market them. But it doesn't sound like you want to be pigeonholed at all. I like the, you're still early in your career, so it's natural that you'll be finding your voice and exploring it. And I think it's very important mm-hmm. to do that.
Yeah, it's totally been a growing process, and that's exactly what it was. I never really, you know, starting out in the industry, people are always telling you, giving you advice on, you know, what are you, what's your genre, and if you went outside of that. Which I felt like I never really had one genre. Like now it's become such a broad umbrella, and I'm so grateful for that, because when I first started out, it was like, oh, you're too pop, or you're too like R&B sounding, or, you know, they wouldn't just accept me for who I was as an artist. And then now it's just become so much of a broader genre that that everything's pretty much accepted in it. I got As I Go is a pretty rock country song, so I have some of that on the album, and then some of the other genres included in it. So it's, yeah, I'm in a good spot. It's a good time.
Now, when you're recording your songs, do you kind of, and writing them for sure, do you kind of try to keep a little bit of what you would consider like a country vibe to them, even if you're aiming for a little R&B or a little bit rock?
Yeah, I guess it's it does rely on the instruments that you choose. We have a lot of pedal steel in it, but I love pedal steel. So yeah. That's like my cowbell. That's my cowbell. You need more pedal steel always. I love to include that into my song. So I think that kind of the same, including the same instruments throughout the album, kind of make all the songs kind of mesh and meld together well, even though they might all have different feelings or inspirations behind them.
Now, you spend your time between Toronto and Nashville, and now how easy is that, given that you are an upcoming artist? Like, is it like, how do you manage to get the funding to spend time in Nashville?
Basically, it took a lot of other part-time jobs working, and then flexible jobs too. Everything that I've always, been a server, bartender. I have a nursing degree. So I have worked at some clinics, but I've told them straight up that my music comes first and I need a flexible schedule. And I guess you just have to show yourself at your work and all these other part-time jobs, in that they need you and they want to keep you around enough that they'll allow you to travel and do put your music first. So again, it's just working hard at every aspect of your life, and then it kind of all balances out. So when I'm in the States, I don't actually have a visa. I preferred not to go with that route for now because it does make traveling a bit easier as far as, because I'm not working while I'm in the States. So I just write when I'm there. So I'm always following all the rules and everything. So I just live off of my savings while I am there and not working, but working on my writing. and then I come back here and try to save up again. So it's a balance, but it's been working so far. So
I'm sure that work ethic and that discipline that you're talking about here, a lot of that probably comes from the track background and the discipline you had to have to succeed in that.
Yeah. I for sure owe a lot of that to my, I've always been an athlete. I actually started out as a Highland dancer. And I did that for about 8 years with my sister and then had to give it up because of injuries while you're growing and constant pounding on your joints and ligaments and stuff. So I had to give it up because it was the most rigorous thing. So, then I took up other sports and dancing and singing after that, and then kind of just stuck with those. But I guess always being involved in other extracurricular activities just helped you learn how to manage your time and really focus your energy into each of those aspects, but at your set times that you're allotted to yourself. So yeah, it's that self-discipline.
does it also, performing in track and field and, having people watch you there, does that help as your performance as on stage in a concert or anything like that? Does it help? When was the first time you got on stage? Was it before you were, a high level university athlete or?
Yeah, it was through the Highland Dance Circuit. I was 6 years old when I started. So, that kind of just got me hooked on it. And then I took up this part-time job in university, to help pay for my schooling. So I was running track, had this, in school for nursing and then had this part-time job at a bar, and it was a country bar, and it was kind of like a Coyote Ugly thing that they were opening up, and they were looking for bevertainers. So my girlfriend sent me the application because she knew I loved country music, and I was already working at another bar anyways, but it was like techno, and I just couldn't, that's just not me. So I went and I applied to this job, and I danced for them originally. And then as I was leaving the audition, I mentioned, I can sing too. And so they had me sing a little bit, and then I pretty much could tell on their faces that I had the job on the spot. but from there, it was kind of a job I took to kind of get it out of my system, the whole performing side, because I wanted to, I was ready to start the work world and go into nursing, and it's a good stable career. And it kind of did the opposite when I got the job, and the more I performed, the more I wanted to get back on stage and do it again. So it was when I started having strangers telling me that I needed to pursue it that I actually took it seriously.
That's cool. That's very cool. What was the first song of your own that you had written that you performed live, and how did that go? What was that experience like?
Oh, geez. You had to ask this one, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
well, I wrote it as a joke because I was obsessed at the time with Jeep Wranglers, and I thought that if I wrote a song about a Jeep Wrangler, they would just sponsor me one to drive around. And so, yeah, it was called Ain't Nothing Better than my Jeep Wrangler. And it was reposted by Jeep Canada, but that's about as far as it went. But yeah, you know, that was the first song that I wrote by myself and played on guitar. Three chords.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. That's a good story.
Yeah.
So I'm interested, when did the main train come around? I mean, your name is perfect for what you're going into, but when you talk about the hashtag main train thing, it's just so ideal. And I think it's a great idea, and I think that more people should take advantage of trying to kind of name their fans, really.
Thanks. I had a fan actually they held a sign of it one time in a crowd, and I just was like, can I take that? So that was just purely from the fans. It was really cool when they start naming themselves. And I tried a couple things when I first started out. It was like Maine Militia was the first one, because I love green and army and, you know, having that self-discipline and work ethic kind of thing. I felt like an army kind of theme was appropriate. But then when I saw Main Train, it was like, yep, that's the one. That's it.
Oh, totally. I mean, it rolls off the tongue. It's fantastic. There's no doubt about it. Now, your album is due out March 27th. And now, that was originally supposed to be due out last spring, was it?
Last spring? There were a couple things. Yeah, there were. This is the new date, because I think it was mainly because the SiriusXM contest last year that I obviously didn't know I would be a semi-finalist and then a finalist for, so that derailed our plans a little bit, but if I'm very happy that it did, so very happy the way things turned out.
Yeah, because I was reading a couple of articles, and they were talking about the idea of your album coming out last year, and I'm like, oh wow, that definitely pushed back, but it makes total sense. I mean, you've got to take all these things and roll with them. You can't stop and you know, get off the train, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just and that's the thing you have to in this industry. You have to learn to be okay with and. It teaches a type A personality to be more of a type B personality and just kind of roll with the punches. And because you don't really know, especially, and then even today's, you know, with all the coronavirus stuff that's completely derailing a lot of the plans. Like, I'm not sure if I am going to even be able to have my CD release party in a couple of days. In a couple of weeks, so it's kind of just learning to be okay with not knowing, which is hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, it's very strange time. That I mean, it's so important when you have an album released to get out there and tour and you know, find yourself some way to get in front of an audience and introduce the songs, and it's tough because you can't really do that. I mean, you can do more TikTok, more guns, more trucks, more explosions, you know, nor pedal steel or steel pedal or whatever. I want one of those shirts. More pedal steel.
Love it.
We all want that. Yeah. We need that. It's
I mean, our first priority is obviously the safety, and especially with my nursing background, I'm like, that's the last thing I want to do is be part of the cause, I guess, of this virus spreading. So I want to do everything in my power to make sure everyone's okay and make sure it blows over and quickly, you know, and stopping this spread and doing my share and my part. So, I mean, if things are delayed, then they have to just be delayed. It's not a big deal. The music is still going to be out there. It's still going to be heard. So with us, it's it's not a major, major deal.
I think, you know, trying to use the tools that you have then to replace that experience is really key. I think that if you were to, you know, live stream a song or two in a setting just for fans, you know, that they can register and come on and watch and these different things, and try and use the social media to spread the word, and obviously the TikTok, I think that's all you can do for now, and then, you know, make a plan for the future. And like you say, I mean, the future is bright regardless for you.
Oh, thank you so much. But yeah, this is exactly what you said.
You're welcome. Yeah, I won't charge you a management fee or nothing.
I don't have anything to add to that. You're bang on.
So actually, for writing, I haven't had the pleasure to visit Nashville. Brett has. He's been lucky enough.
That's right.
But for writing, what is it about that that area that is just you find conducive to exploring yourself artistically?
It's a number of factors. Nashville, well, first of all, it's where you can always hear live music. And, if you're off of the Broadway strip, and into more of like the singer songwriter areas, you're always hearing these original tunes, and, that kind of gets the gears going in your head, and you might hear something or like be inspired by something and then want to do something like it, or it might even just trigger like one word that starts triggering off like a whole chain reaction of other thoughts in your head. And so when I go to Nashville, I just I turn off all of the other, well, I take off all the other hats, I guess, that I wear while I'm in Canada, and I just put on my writer's hat while I'm there, and I'm constantly just looking for ideas and thinking about things, like when even on street signs or, you know, it's just always in the back of your mind, you know, ideas. And then I go into all my rights with those ideas, and then that's how basically each one of these songs on this album were created. So actually, except for As I Go, we didn't have any idea going into that one. So we literally, just like the song says, I'm gonna make it up as I go, and that's what we did. So
yeah, it's interesting having been to Nashville and seeing just the, you know, just the energy that is on Broadway and just all the different music, for sure. I mean, it is really easy to immerse yourself in the music, and there's just so much live just happening all the time. I mean, it's so much unlike, well, for us here in Calgary, it's radically different.
Yeah. Well, I love Calgary. Oh my gosh, that was with our first. It was our first time playing in Calgary last summer, and that was such a great experience. Alberta, you get real country fans, and when you get to play for real country fans, and you're a country music artist, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's so cool, and it it also kind of gives you that stamp of approval when you have those fans standing up for you and cheering for you, and it's like, okay, like if they say if they like it, then it's good, you know. So it's great.
Yes, yeah, the prairies for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. But when you're in Nashville, it's also that organic feel around you. It's like something in the air, and then it's also just a very nurturing environment. I find it's so encouraging, the way that they really include the new acts and the new artists and the new songwriters, and really encourage their development. It's pretty unique there, because sometimes, you know, when you come in with a pretty shitty song, some sometimes it just gets thrown away, but there I feel like they really see your potential, and then they really try to nurture that and help you grow. And there's a bunch of resources and other songwriters there that will help you develop. So I've been really, really fortunate with my time there.
Yeah, there's a psychology to songwriting, you know, that you have to learn if you want to succeed at it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's songwriting is so vulnerable too. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you have to open yourself up and talk about some of these sensitive topics sometimes to complete strangers. And, you know, if it's your first time writing with somebody, that's a really tough thing to do. But there it's kind of the norm. So everyone's a songwriter there. So they've all been there, you know, so it's comforting in that aspect.
What do you think of the artists that are, best able to do that, to share their true self, to be open in that way? Because it is, like you say, it's very difficult. And a lot of artists, I think they're not capable of fully going there. But the ones that are, they make a big impact.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of artists now start off by writing for other people. So like Chris Stapleton wrote for other people for years. Old Dominion. There's just so many. Ryan Hurd, Maren Morris. So they all wrote for other people, and then it's when you have someone I notice it more the more that I'm in the industry, is when you have someone who wrote the song actually performing that song that they wrote, there's just that special magic connection mm-hmm. that they are able to portray in the lyrics and in the little nuances of their voice. And sometimes when you hear artists that are singing a song that they didn't write, you can tell. And so it's so beautiful when you can actually see someone who wrote the song. Actually, there's Stephen Lee Olsen, who wrote Blue Ain't Your Color, that Keith Urban recorded and then won a Grammy for. And now he's starting to actually sing more of the songs and release more of the songs that he wrote himself. And he's a Canadian boy, and I'm so happy that he's doing that, because I told him that at the CCMEs in Calgary last year. I just said, you know, I'm so happy that you are actually releasing the songs that you wrote and doing it yourself, because it's just that special magic that even when he sings it, the Blue Ain't Your Color, and then you hear his version of it, it's beautiful. I love it.
Now, did you do you go back into the past of people, you know, from all the different decades, and kind of study whose songwriting is, I don't know, connects to you, or how do you find your influences in that way?
You know, it's a bit of both. The more that I write now in Nashville, the more I get to learn the names of the writers that have written the songs that I love. And you know, sometimes it is the artist that I love, but like Luke Combs, for instance, he's a really great writer right now. He's blowing up, I guess it's like, oh yeah, that's another Shane McAnally song. You know, mm-hmm. he just like writes every song that he writes is a hit, and like Ashley Gormley, and like it's just the same thing. So you do get to know the names of the writers, and I try to make a special note of those writers, because that's my goal, is to get into a room with them one day And so I always like to, you know, set those goals and try to do what I can to get there.
You want to pick their brains for sure.
You know, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these people, they I'm sure they have a lot to teach. And that's why part of the reason why they succeeded. So we've been picking your brain so much. Thank you for so much. I mean, I'm going to be following closely where you go from here. I think, like I said, I think it's a very exciting stage of your career. And we have, don't let us down. We have high expectations, Canada, for you.
Thank you. I will do my very, very best. I'm always, that's my biggest motivation is to make it for Canada and for my hometown and make them proud. And that's all I've ever wanted to do.
Just make it, just forget about just me. Just make it for me. Okay. Just forget about all those other people. Just, I want to be able to say, you know, we had her on. Probably gave her the, you know, we talk music bump, and then she took off, and you know, we're proud of her. But no, we are. It's going to be great. Pardon me.
That's right.
For Brett and Mo.
For Brett and Mo. Well, Mo at least. So, hey, Brett, do you have anything last to ask before we get Kelsey to kind of tell everybody where to follow her?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you got two new members of the main train, and I do hope that when you get a chance to come tour again, that and you come back to Calgary, that we'll get a chance to meet up with you in person. I think that would be fantastic. But yeah, otherwise, totally tell the fans where to find all of you.
Oh, I'd love to come and see you guys in person. I will be back in the Calgary area this summer, but I can't say the date yet. But okay. We'll make it happen. So you can find me at basically anywhere on social media. My name is Kelsey Main. My handle is at Kelsey Main everywhere. But my parents spell it differently because I am half Italian, even though I'm a redhead. So my mom wanted to make Kelsey spelt like an Italian. So it's K-E-L-S-I. Just ends with an I, and then M-A-Y-N-E, and that's my website too, www.kelseymain.com.
Well, by the summer, you'll be so successful, we'll let you buy us food.
Deal.
Okay. Well, Kelsey, thank you so much for your time. We totally appreciate it. We wish you all the best with the new album and certainly with the music video. And just all the best with your career. You're a wonderful artist and we look forward to following your career.
Yeah. I don't think there's any shitty songs. I don't care what you said. You've never written one like that. Come on.
and when you come to Calgary, play the Jeep Wrangler song just for us.
Deal. I'll learn it again.
Thank you very much and you know, have all yourself right. A great day. Great coming few months. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brett and Mo. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kelsey. Talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye now.
Said he'd be home, but he ain't yet. I know what he's doing and who he's doing it with. Oh, but I won't know till he opens that door. What I do next? Maybe I'll smash his bottle of Pepsi, tear down his TV, I ain't sure. Won't be hearing it. Hell ain't got no fury. Love. baby, I'll smash his body.